The Sharpshooters, episode 14, November 2nd, 2005. Welcome everybody to episode 14 of The Sharpshooters. We are back from a vacation well rested.
Wait a minute, how are we back? And we haven't missed a show yet.
We haven't missed a show, but everybody knew that we was on vacation.
Yeah.
That's why the show is being recorded on November 2nd.
I guess so.
Just want to say that we lost all our money, didn't win nothing, and that's how it goes.
And I think we lost the rights to the show.
I don't know. Yeah. Did you put that on that roulette table?
No, I saw a guy, and he's like, I bet you whatever you got against whatever I got. And I told him, I was the host of the Sharpshooters. I went all in. Dude had pocket aces. I had a pair of twos.
Trying to bluff,
but hey.
All right, as you can tell.
This may be the final episode of Sharpshooter if I knew employed Mr. What you call a Whittington or something like that. Some Texas may take over the show.
Well, as you see, the grand finale is delusional and sick. He's still on the Medicaid. So let's just get right back in. Let's get right into the show and start it off like how we always do with our website. That is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Will be no fan man segment this week. Got no email, really. Also, please vote for the poll. It's only a couple more weeks before the Bret Hart DVD is released, and we announce who everybody wants the next DVD to be. Mm-hmm. So, ready to start the show, Mark?
Yeah, did we even introduce ourselves, though?
Oh, well, I'm Eric.
And I guess I'm Mark. It's the grand finale. And you called me the grand finale earlier, which went by your rule.
I didn't call you the grand finale.
You said the grand finale is still on meds.
No, well, whatever. It won't happen again.
You say all right. Every week, but it's going
to
slip.
Let's get into the first story, which brings sadness to my heart. If you guys are fellow Pete fans like me and Marcus are, you're saddened to find out that Christian has quit the WWE.
That's good news for him. Good if he goes to a different wrestling. But is this really true, though? Is it 100% true? Because it's reported from WWE.com. Maybe it's a storyline.
No, what happened was the story is that they offered him a contract. Mm-hmm. They wanted him to sign it. He didn't like the contract. Mm-hmm. Didn't sign it. And decided he was going to leave. He's been unhappy with WWE for a while.
With good reason.
With the direction of the company. But like every wrestler that's let go by WWE, it's a 90 days no compete clause. So who can say what's going to happen in 90 days?
I recommend him to leave. Go, Christian. Go TNA. Maybe you can boost your career. Become NWA champion for about a week and lose it to Jerry.
Well, they're saying that it's good reason for him might to go to TNA simply because of the fact that he does live in Florida. And he might can have that Kevin Nash kind of deal where he just drives to the show because, you know, TNA is recorded in Florida.
Yeah. Maybe they'll give him something to do, like, because the WWE is not using its characters anymore. They're just using, let's see, John Cena, Triple H, and Kurt Angle.
So, when everybody, when you guys saw Christian on Raw on the past, on Monday, he was actually there out of good faith. He was not under contract, but just in the business, he was there. He reports that if you guys expect that was a big blow up between him and Vince, like F you and all that good stuff, that didn't happen.
Nah.
They both agreed they moved on. Another person that in WWE that people are stating that could be fired is Torrey Wilson.
Nah.
There's been speculation the whole time we were on vacation that Torrey Wilson was fired, but recently when I checked the newswire. I don't know if we have a newswire, but I checked. Apparently, she just taking a leave of absence because it's a personal business that is going on in her lifestyle.
They can fire for all I care. I'm not a Tory fan. Never have been. Fire.
Well, some people say ever since Billy Kidman's been let go, I don't know if they're still an item, but they really had no use for Torrey Wilson.
Well, they never had use for her anyway.
Also, moving to the next story.
Okay.
For those of you who ordered Taboo Tuesday, on Tuesday,
we will give a result.
We'll give the results of that show. We haven't watched, but we will eventually watch it. We're thinking about ordering it.
Mm-hmm. The replay.
Well, what happens is that, as you all know, Coach was in the match.
Uh-huh.
By Coach being in the match, Joey Styles, former ECW announcer, was the announcer of the show.
Oh, my God!
We don't know how he did in the show, but we'll let you guys know. But there is speculation that he will be the new Raw lead announcer. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that, Mark?
I like Joey Styles. Always have. Big fan. And anybody is better than Jonathan Coachman.
Well, put that straight. But they're saying that Joey Styles might have some trouble announcing because when he announced for ECW, he did it over tapes, unlike doing it over a live feed. So people are wondering how is he going to react to having Vince McMahon yell in his ear through the headset.
Well, you know, it doesn't seem like that could be that hard of an adjustment, you know. I think he can pull it off. I say go Joey Styles. How did he do the ECW one? Because that was pretty much live, you know, the one I stayed.
I believe so. I'm not sure.
I think he can handle it. Because I think at ECW he had Paul Heyman yell in his ear a little bit.
Okay, I guess it's up to us to give a Stone Cold Steve Austin update. As many know, on Raw, Vince McMahon said that the reason why Austin was not participating in Taboo Tuesday and was not at Raw was because he suffered an injury from an auto accident. Come to find out from several reports on the internet that he is injured, wasn't from an auto accident, probably from lifting furniture or something around his house. But some people say the injury is not that serious, that the main reason is that he's really upset that JR actually was not coming back, and also that they wanted him to job to Jonathan Coachman.
Are you serious?
Yes.
He was going to have to actually really lose to Jonathan Coachman. That would have been awful.
And that's why he was upset, because he said he did not want to leave to lose to Jonathan Coachman.
Yeah, that would.
So maybe that's why he decided he was going to move furniture around.
Yeah, I think that was a smart move by Steve Austin's part.
I just want to say, Steve Austin, you ruined Mark Henry's comeback. So
yeah,
let you know
apparently
that.
Apparently, Mark Henry was going to run in and whoop. Take that, Steve.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's.
Sexual chocolate, baby.
Anyway, that's pretty much the news for the week. Not much TNA news. I read someplace that Samoa Joe took a shot at Batista. Really didn't feel that was important enough.
Samoa Joe's not big enough to take a shot at Batista right now. Batista's at, like, that other level right now. He's up there, probably higher than John Cena and fan pops right now.
That's what I have to say. All right, well, that's been the news, and we'll be back with the TNA Impact Report. We're back. It's time for the TNA Impact Report for October 29th, 2005, usually shot at their arena or their stadium in Orlando, Florida. The show opened up with Marcus' favorite wrestler, Abyss, versus Lance Hoyt. This match was two big men going against each other. Lance Hoyt really needs to learn how to punch because he didn't punch. He doesn't punch that well.
Hoyt.
Anyway. I mean, it really wasn't a great match.
I wouldn't even consider it that good.
What happens is, the most important thing about this match is what happened after the match. Abyss wins with the black hole slam on Lance Hoyt.
Kind of like a side slam. It's pretty much like Big Boss Man's finishing
move. Or kind of like the Undertaker side slam that he does. But anyway, it's Abyss finishing move. So after the match, James Mitchell, his manager, hops into the ring with the bag of tacks to give to Abyss. Because I guess a tax is Abyss gimmick.
Yeah.
After that, the arena goes dark. And anybody who knows,
that's Sabu.
When the lights come up, point to the sky was Sabu. But Sabu was not just in the ring alone. He had a towel covering his hand, so no one knew what really was under that. Once he removed the towel, his arm was draped in barbed wire, and which apparently put fear into the eyes of Abyss. So I guess Abyss can handle tacks. But he can't handle the barbed wire.
Man, I got these tacks, man. I wouldn't be terrified of that. Maybe if he had a bat, like Mick Foley be carrying, I'd be more afraid. That's wood and the thing, like, nah.
Well, but you kind of feel, though, that by him having that bat, I mean the barbed wire, it shows that he shows no pain and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess. I wasn't really impressed.
I guess they're
setting
up some type of hardcore match with
them. Maybe they're setting up a barbed wire match.
Probably.
I ain't seen a barbed wire match in a good time now.
I don't think TNA would do a barbed wire match. I think they might have a hardcore match.
Maybe
not
a bomb match.
I don't know,
barbed wire around the ring and they blow up somebody's ear and just like, oh.
Okay.
All right, I'm going for the gore.
All right. Then after that, they cut away to the announcers. Tanae pretty much is apologizing for the Ultimate X malfunction at the Bound for Glory pay-per-view and announces that they're going to have a rematch of the Ultimate X match with Petey Williams, Matt Bentley, and Chris Sabin at the 2 hour premiere.
Not premiere.
I mean, 2 hour special on TNA this Thursday.
Yeah, I feel that's fair.
That's fair. But also to interrupt and take the shine away from the Ultimate X competitors, here come the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett. With Larry Zbysko announcing that he will get a rematch at the 2 hour special also against Rhino.
Why can't they have another number one contender other than Jeff Jarrett when he isn't the champion? Come on, lose the title.
Because he's the King of the Mountain.
Honestly, Triple H doesn't go after the title this much. Triple H hasn't won the title in over 4 months.
All right.
Jarrett's been out every week.
Okay, after that match, after that also was a match between Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel, versus Jarrell Clark. This was a basic match, a good X Division match. They didn't really do any big spots on the match because because you know the X Division is their bread and butter, mm-hmm. so you don't want to give away all the big moves for free.
And they did at that Bound for Glory's first 30 minutes.
Yeah, but that's different. Pay per view compared to a show that's taped or whatchamacallit.
Tuesday.
Don't bring out your best stuff. All right. Well, he hits the Angel Wings for the pin, and Christopher Daniels won the match. Well, what I noticed about this match, though, is that Daniels didn't wear his collar around
his neck.
Apparently,
he's listening to me. Because I suggested many weeks ago, maybe about a week ago, I don't know. Maybe a week or two.
Did you have something else about that you was going to say about Christopher Daniels, or was that it?
That was it about the collar.
Okay. After that, they go backstage, and Shane Douglas is interviewing Raven and asked him how does he feel about Rhino winning the title. Before Raven can answer, his crony, or his follower, Cassidy, interrupts and say, Raven is being played, and maybe that Rhino is right that she has gotten to your head. Maybe you're gone soft.
And then there was a smack across the face.
Raven bitch slapped Cassidy and walks off. Now, I don't know. I haven't watched TNA that much. Who is she?
I don't know. Maybe it's a mystery. Maybe it's Raven's girlfriend or wife or something.
If any fans out there that who constantly watch TNA, can you please email us and let us know who she is?
Maybe it's something behind the scenes. Maybe it's a story just starting.
Yeah.
They just moved it in there.
Remember to send that email to thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
They put the bologna in the sandwich.
Shut up, Marcus.
Bologna, for those who wanted to say it correctly.
All right. The next match was the original player from the Himalayas, Sanjay Dutt, and AJ Styles versus Alex Shelley and Roderick Strong, the man that can do numerous backbreakers from anywhere. Mm-hmm.
And we gave that credit to Austin Aries a few
This was a
ago.
Great match.
I apologize. It was great.
It was a great
Loved
match.
It. Loved it.
Great spots. One downfall for me was when Scott D'Amore came out yelling at Tanay and Don West about how P. Williams was being screwed.
No, let me say something. I liked it that. It was funny as hell seeing Mike Tanay be like, you don't know the rules, do you? You don't know the rules. You ain't tell me I don't know the rules. You don't know the rules. Tanay got tough.
Can I ask a question, though? Does Tanay and Don West have any power? If you're Scott D'Amore, should you go be yelling at Huggy Bear?
Yeah, maybe Huggy Bear couldn't see him. At the time, Larry Zbysko were talking about Huggy Bear. Are you choking?
Yeah, I'm choking.
Choking.
Also in the match, Roderick Strong, as we said, the king of backbreakers, he hit two very impressive backbreakers. He did a flipping shoulder backbreaker, which just looked like if he did it wrong, would have F somebody up really bad. And then he did a choke slam knee backbreaker on AJ Styles, which this was actually following the Pele, which is a move I like to see done, but
it really does nothing.
Seen
it a lot. It's as useless as a 6x9. But
okay, well, how this match ends is that Sanjay goes for the sprinkler, but he's taken out of the ring with Shelley, and then AJ hits the Styles Clash on Strong for the pin. Great match. It was just I have never seen AJ. And Marcus Boyd, I haven't seen one X Division bad match yet.
I probably have back in a while, but it's a while back.
Marcus, it's been, three or four episodes of TNA?
No, back when it was on Fox and stuff.
That don't count.
I saw some bad ones.
This is a new level for TNA. That stuff back on Fox don't count no more.
The time limit? I believed in their time limit.
One thing I did miss about the way they had it on Fox is where they had the names up there. Because, you know, for us, coming in from the WWE side, we don't know the names as well as other people know the names.
Yeah, that was kind of nice of them.
But the time limit was very stupid.
I mean, because you knew where the match was going to end pretty much. All
right. After that, they cut backstage again, and where... Oh, wow. Hold on. Screensaver coming up. Just playing. Technical difficulties. Okay. They cut backstage, and where I say that Scott D'Amore should have been at, found out why he wasn't backstage in Huggy Bear's office, a.k.a. Larry Zbysko, because 3 Live Crew was back there, harassed him about settling the score with Team Canada. But right before he can even comment, here comes Kip James, known better to the fans as Billy Gunn, talking about he should be the special guest ref between Team Canada and 3 Live Crew.
I don't know. Why the hell should he be the special guest referee?
I don't know. But
I mean, if either he's on somebody else's side or he's biased. What the hell?
And then, of course, I dropped my pen. I need the pen. It makes me feel more important.
It makes you feel like a professional?
BG James, he likes the idea.
Yeah, I go BG.
Rod Killings likes the idea, but Conan does not like the idea because he says that every time Kip James is like instant destruction or something, you just add water. Some corny line that he said.
He gets hit with a truck.
But he can hit with a hockey stick or a chair or something. Anyway, he was not happy about it. They have beef.
When is Conan ever happy, though?
When is Conan going to give up the Mexican gangster gimmick?
I don't know. He needs to have tequila and shut up.
Okay. So after this cutscene, they went to commercial to segue to the next match. Was America Most Wanted, James Storm and Chris Harris versus 3 Live Crew, BG James, and Ron Killings come to the ring with Conan. Also with America's Most Wanted, Gail Kim was out there.
Yeah.
Actually, a very good match.
It was okay.
It was a good tag team match.
I just can't take Ron Killings. I mean, he comes out there, he does his dance that are bad, he does the most useless moves.
But
Road Dogg just punches as he always does.
But Road Dogg just get beat up the whole match. But the point is, do you think if Ron Killings would, let's say, stop the dancing, you would appreciate him
maybe
more?
Maybe I respect him more. I mean, I just can't deal with the dancing.
I think if you take away the dancing, then it becomes he becomes a very entertaining wrestler. Because he does do some high-flying moves, but there's the point that after he does his move,
he got to do the splits.
He got to do the stands.
Moonwalker. Drop it to the robot.
You know? It's like dancing for the white man.
It's just bad, too, though, man. Worst dance moves I've seen in 25 years. Worst dance.
And just to speak of, the match started off by him taking the hat, one of America's Most Wanted hat, and he's a whole time in the ring jumping around like he riding a horse. Mm-hmm. No one needs to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really bad.
Orokai.
Yeah. Well, how this match ends is that Scott D'Amore of Team Canada, we all know that Team Canada's in line with AMW and Jeff Jarrett, comes out to the ring with a hockey stick. But Kip James is right behind him and takes the stick from Scott D'Amore and flips it into the ring to BG. For some reason, BG is just swarming around the ring with the stick, and then Chris Harris takes the stick from him and his BG and takes the stick from BG.
It's called Road Dogg.
Okay, from Road Dogg.
I'm so confused to call BJ or BG.
That's a good job, James. Takes the stick from Road Dogg, which led to a super kick by James Storm to win the match. Once again, it ensued to having a feud between Conan and Kip James because Conan felt that Kip cost him the match. Or Billy Gunn.
Missed the ass.
Damn it. I believe so. It's no reason for the BLTV. I'm sorry. As long as
he's on 3 Live Crew. Yeah, man, Kip James.
Let me start off.
Former Smokey Gunn.
Billy Gunn.
We have the board.
Billy Gunn left WWE because he couldn't get over. He's not getting over in TNA to me.
Nah. He just doesn't have the charisma.
Conan is a tired character that needs to end. No more Viva La Raza.
Pretty much.
Road Dogg has been doing the same gimmick from 1995, coming into the ring, and right now I'm sorry to say,
champions of the world.
I'm sorry, it's a better announcer wrestler now, and that's Mr. Kennedy. Next, and last but not least, K Quick.
He got to move some things.
We don't even need to say that about K Quick.
His name is Ron Killings.
It doesn't matter.
I'm about to move some things.
I don't know how he was even. How was he the TNA champion?
Twice.
God knows.
He lost it like 2 weeks each.
That's why they got kicked off of Fox, probably.
Jared was champion then, too.
I guess now it's time for the last segment of TNA Impact was pretty much Brother Devon and Brother Ray came out to the ring. pretty much they were just talking about how it says that AMW should have finished the job, but because they didn't, it's a deadly mistake. Said that they have seen footage of the funeral scene and that everybody that was in there is going to pay. And also, Devon took the mic and says that they will lay a path of rage on Team Canada at the 2-hour special. Another plug for the special that happens tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what happens
is after Thursday night.
After they talk.
Say Thursday
it's tomorrow night. Today is
no,
Wednesday.
But you should say Thursday night. You don't know when these people are listening.
That's true. That's a good point. Thursday night. After that, you see Team Canada come out the shoot.
These people ought to be.
It's Bobby Roode, Scott D'Amore, and Eric. Yeah, they come out the shoot, and as Team 3D is facing them, they are attacked behind by the remaining members of Team Canada, Petey Williams and A1, and then ensues to a beatdown. After that, 3 Live Crew comes in to help out Team 3D, and pretty much 3 Live Crew kind of kicks Team Canada's butt. After then, here comes. Well, A1 takes a 3D from Team 3D. Then Jarrett and AMW comes out to the ring to harass Team 3D.
Yeah.
Whooping their butt. And then right before they go off the air, here comes the NWA champion, Rhino, the Man Beast. He comes in the ring, they go off the air.
You know what I would have liked it in the show, though? That's the end of the show, right?
That was the end of the show.
Yeah, what I would have liked is they would have had Rhino, like, for those who didn't see the pay-per-view, and they said, you know, Rhino won. I would like to hear a Rhino rant. Like, he's the new champion. Just say something.
Well,
or do something. And they come out and run out to help the Dudley
Boys.
Well,
the thing about the show is that it seems like they feature more the loser of the match than
the winner the champion.
But the point is, though, remember, though, Kevin Nash, Jeff Jarrett was probably supposed to win the belt. He was probably supposed to
be the main champion.
Yeah, he was probably supposed to defeat Kevin Nash. And so I guess they probably didn't have this already planned out, but I mean, they worked on such a good fly for Battle of Glory. You would think they could have did something with the show.
Yeah, they could have did something more with Rhino. I felt, but since he won the title,
overall, though, it was a good impact because, you know.
It wasn't as good as previous weeks.
The X Division. But see, Marcus, I've learned that you're hard to please when it comes to watching these shows.
How am I hard to please?
Because you don't like much.
I like a lot.
No, you don't.
All the
fans that we have. Have you guys heard Marcus disagree more about the shows or say what he don't like than ever saying that he likes the show? If you agree with me, please email us at thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
What?
I'm just saying.
I agree. I like a lot of stuff, but then, you know, some stuff is like, it's so taboo. All
right. Taboo Tuesday. All right. Well, that's enough of the TNA Impact. Don't forget to tune into the 2-hour special Thursday night on Spike TV.
Yeah.
Remember, it's not coming on Saturday.
What is it, November?
November 3rd.
Yeah.
November 3rd. All right, we'll be back with the Raw Report. WWE Monday Night Raw report for October 31st, live from Anaheim, California. Close to us, but we couldn't go to the show because we were in Vegas. Damn it, damn it, damn.
Well, one of our viewers did. Well, listeners, Danny went.
Yeah, he went.
He
went to SmackDown.
Because SmackDown's on Sunday. Yeah.
Correct. Well, the show opened up with Eric Bischoff.
Hit me with your pen.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't.
Hit me with something.
I don't know.
Ouch.
Eric Bischoff comes out to the ring with Chris Masters, and then they show a camera shot of the coach dressed up like Steve Austin, which was kind of funny.
He kind of looked like Steve Austin.
Like a black version of Steve Austin.
Yeah, he looked like a white version of Steve Austin.
And pretty much, Bischoff announced that there's going to be a special Master Lock challenge with SmackDown star Rey Mysterio. God, oh God. This segment actually caught me off guard, because I was like, man, I just see some people get destroyed in this Master Lock Challenge. I know they're not about to have Rey Mysterio break the Master Lock Challenge. So, of course, Teddy Lowes comes out, and here comes with his strut, and Rey Mysterio's right behind him. They come out to the ring. Mm-hmm. Chris Masters start making short jokes about him.
He put him on the chair.
He picked him up like a little kid and put him on the chair.
And he still wasn't even taller than Masters, I
And
would
so,
think.
Then they give the mic to Rey Mysterio. He rambles on, and the next thing you know, no Master Lock Challenge happened. He hits him upside the head with the mic. True, it doesn't look like it hurt, but the point was, it just looked like you would be more surprised at being hit with the mic.
Yeah.
And like that.
A lot of weak shots from Ray.
Yeah, but I mean, Chris Bastion's Rey Mysterio is kind of big. Well, anyway, they start fighting, and Bischoff is in the ring, and he calls out the SmackDown, I mean the Raw troop, sorry about that. And it's like, they get in there, and they start jumping Rey Mysterio, and then Teddy Long is looking, and he gets the pimp call, and he's calling out the SmackDown stars, and they come from backstage, well, they come from the audience. And then the big riot ensued, and guess who was standing in the ring after the show?
I'm going to say the SmackDown.
The SmackDown stars were staying in the ring. Why the SmackDown stars continue to get over on Raw?
Because nobody's watching SmackDown.
So I guess they're trying to
build them up.
All right. That makes sense. It was a pretty good segment.
It was all right. It was surprising, you know. I didn't really want to see the Master Lock Challenge anyway, so thank you, Rey Mysterio, for what's doing something right. Did he do a 6-foot dive?
No, he didn't get the chance to do the 6-foot dive.
That's a good thing.
The next match was the first match of the night was Kurt Angle versus Ty Jerry. Honestly, didn't know what this match had to do with the show, but surprisingly, it was a better match than what I thought it was going to be, and it proved that Angle can carry a match with anybody. Not saying that Tajiri is a bad wrestler.
No, because Tajiri never really gets his opportunity to perform on the big stage like Raw or, you know, SmackDown. Normally, he's on Heat or Velocity, or in an undercard job into like Kane or Masters.
If I'm correct, wasn't Tajiri the former ECW champion at one point?
I don't know if he ever won an ECW
champion. I think he did win a championship.
I think he was the TV champion and Cruiserweight champion or something.
Well, anyway.
I don't think he was ever heavyweight.
How Angle won the match is that when Tajiri got his momentum for the match, he was going for the tarantula. Right. And proving that Angle could apply the ankle lock from anywhere, he put the ankle lock on Tajiri.
Man, he applied it from anything. This was one of those applies that I was shocked that he applied. I thought, Tajiri gave him the tarantula, and then, you know, Angle gave him an ankle slam or something later. You know, I didn't think it would end like that.
After the match, though, Angle takes the mic and he rants talking about how he doesn't care who the third person is. He's going to win the belt no matter what, and all that's hoopla, yakety smacking.
You know what everybody says before they fight for the belt.
Now the next match after this one.
Oh, John Cena ran out.
Oh, yeah, John Cena ran out. They had a little scuffle. Whoop-de-doo.
Can't forget about John Cena.
Now can I go to the next match?
Now we go to the next match. Was there a next match?
There was a next match. Eugene versus Conway, or Rob Conway. This match, it had no business being on the damn... It could have been on Heat.
Yeah.
Well, just let you guys know, Eugene won the match by disqualification because Conway hit him in the head with a chair.
No highlights in this match, by the way.
That
was a rock.
Well, it was a highlight because after he hit him in the head with the chair and got the DQ, he continued to whoop on Eugene.
Well, after
that, the legends decided they were coming to the ring. The legends that we're referring to are Jimmy Superfly Snuka,
yep,
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and the Ugandan giant Kamala. They come out to the ring to beat up on Conway. They whoop him up. I mean, Hacksaw does his move. Kamala does his move. Superfly does his move.
Superfly still got jumps. He still got up there.
But he looked like he was struggling up on top of there, man. He took some time.
Hey.
But after
he
that,
as much as Vader.
Jerry Lawler, dressed as the Burger King, decided that he's going to get involved too. I just want to let y'all know he was dressed like the Burger King.
And you know what? That whole thing with him up there on the Burger King, that gave me an idea. Burger King needs to pick up on this and have the Burger King guy do wrestling things. You can have him body slam Andre the Giant, jump off the top of the cage like Snuka, stuff like that.
Anyway, so he drops out with the elbow smash, the fist smash, and then they cut backstage after that. And that's where Todd Grisham, dressed up as Harry Caray, the former Chicago Cubs announcer,
who passed away.
He passed away. And he tried to interview Marcus' newfound friend in wrestling, Gregory Helms.
Mm-hmm.
Who just brushed him off, was like, whatever.
Who looks a lot like Christian now that he's...
Maybe Gregory Helms is going to get the push that Christian never got.
Nah, I think he's going to end up just like Christian.
After that, he ran into Mick Foley, who said he was cutting a special promo for Carlito in the truck.
Uh-huh. He came out.
And so no one knew what special he was cutting. But we quickly found out when they came back for commercial break.
Carlito's
inside the ring talking about he doesn't care who he fights of Mick Foley because he's going to win the match. Then he's interrupted by Marcus' favorite Mick Foley character,
This is my least favorite Mick Foley
character. Dude Love talking about what he gonna do. Then Cactus Jack talking about Bang Bang and all that.
Yeah.
And then the poem recited by Mankind.
Yes. Carlito.
Carlito.
You'll be Bonito.
Socko.
Socko in the Bonito.
And then streak marks in your Speedo and stuff like that.
That was funny. I got a little kick out of it.
I just want to don't kick my chair ever again. A lot of people were complaining about the whole Mankind character simply because he was dressed as the good Mankind.
No, here's a quick fact, though. That isn't always the good Mankind. At one point, he was the evil Mankind like that because the reason he wore the shirt and the tie is because he was the corporate Mankind. Can I ask a question, Marcus?
Now, how are the people, the listeners, going to know what I'm going to say when you cut me off?
Oh.
You should have let me finish saying that. Why people was having problems with that he was dressed like the good Mankind but had the evil Mankind music, and then you could have went into your rant.
Yeah, I always go into my rant first, you know. My rant's already said.
Organization is the key to a successful show. You're the reason why we got no listeners.
Oh man. Oh.
All right. So well, I'm through. So after that, coaches get the ring. Coach has the mic. And says, don't worry about him, Carlito, you'll win. And decides that he's going to call out Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
They go to commercial.
Yeah. Oh, another commercial, yes.
Then they come back, and Coach is talking about the reason why Austin's not here, because he knew that he wasn't going to be at the show alone. Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when the coach calls out Goldust.
Goldust.
Of all wrestlers that were available to play this role, why do you pick Dustin Rhodes? Because Dusty Rhodes back in the business?
Coach brought up that he put Goldust in a porta potty and kicked it over.
Yes. Well, so this is when the coach threatens that if Austin does not come out, him and Goldust are gonna go back to the back and find him. Well, right before they're about to leave the ring, music hits. Not the glass cracking, but No Chance. Vince McMahon comes out, and he gives us the excuse that Austin will not be there tonight or at Taboo Tuesday because he was in an auto accident.
Which we reported it was just furniture or something. And something that was minor and, you know.
And so, to replace Austin, that the coach wins the match by default because Austin can't perform. Mm-hmm. But because he promised the fans a match with the coach, that he decided that he was going to give him a new opponent. Because there was no one available on SmackDown, on Raw, sorry about that, he would find a competitor from SmackDown. He figured the best choice as a candidate for this would be the number one SmackDown announcer, not Michael Cole, but Funaki. God knows the last time Funaki fought in a match.
He fought a rat?
Match.
He fought on Velocity a lot.
Okay. He's
a
cruiserweight. Well, anyway.
I was going to say something about Funaki. Indeed.
Okay. Anyway, you should look at the mic when you talk. Think the mic is me.
Okay? Focus.
Okay. Anyway, so Funaki comes out to the ring, and he gets a beating for nobody should ever receive from Goldust. Why did Goldust beat him up? I do not know.
Goldust was tough. He was a rare form of Funaki.
Okay, so anyway, they throw him off the ring, and Coach complains, like, you could give me somebody tougher than Funaki. And Vince was like, okay, well, the first SmackDown star to volunteer to face you at Taboo Tuesday will be the person that you face. And this has then, Vince was like, well, you won't be able to fight out to Tuesday. Dave music hits.
Dave Batista.
Dave comes out
the world heavyweight champion.
True, there was no explanation of why Dave decided he was going to take the challenge.
There was no explanation why Dave was even there.
Yeah, it was no reason for Dave to be there or for Dave to fight.
You go.
To fight Coach, but he decided to.
Well, anyway, I would have felt they should have let that pumpkin on SmackDown, the other announcer, not Michael Cole, Mr. Taz, who hasn't wrestled in over like 3 years or something, he should have fought that match. I think he would have put people in seats, and a street fight fits in his direction.
Yeah, but Taz is fat, but not as fat as some other people that we gonna get into
later.
So Batista come out to the ring. Goldust is doing his, you know, his pull his hands up and all that good stuff. And then Coach tried to sucker punch Batista. Mm. Why did you do this? So Batista goes into whooping his butt.
No, they get the better. Goldust and them get the better.
He was going to beat Coach, and then you want to interrupt me? Goldust blindsides Dave. Let me finish telling
the story. I thought you had skipped that.
I did not skip that. So anyway, so they're beating him down. And then right when Dave started getting the upper hand, Vader's music hit.
It's time. It's Vader time. The man they call Vader comes walking down the ramp. Fatter than ever. He was fat at one point. This wasn't even solid no more. This was jiggly.
He was so fat that he couldn't even hold his balance. That he kept falling down.
He's a disgrace to fat people. He's obese now.
Hey, it was funny. Anyway, they got the best of Dave. Actually, Dave started to get the best of him.
Yeah, then
and then Vader, they left the ring.
Vader came in and they got the best of him.
Vader's just fat. That's all I have to say.
I mean, when he got off the ring apron, he fell off the ring apron and fell down.
Well, so that was the...
And then when he first came in, when he Dave, that little slam of his fat Dave, he fell out then and he couldn't even hold his balance.
Well, so what happens is that led to the whole... Now we know who coaches find that Taboo Tuesday. So let's move on to the next match that people were robbed for next week that everybody wanted to see. I mean, I had so much comments on why, Eric. Why didn't they let Viscera fight Triple H last week? Why they didn't let him? We all wanted to see Viscera versus Triple H. So you know what they did? They gave the fans what they wanted.
It's about time the WWE so considered their fans that they have to replay. I mean, they have to restart and reset up the most anticipated Raw matches of in recent time. Raw history.
Yes.
Viscera versus The Game, the Cerebral Assassin, former heavyweight champion, Triple H.
Versus former tag team champion, Viscera, former lover of Lily Garcia. Now, I want to say something. We waited so long for this match, and thank God it ended so quick.
I was shocked. I thought Viscera was going to give him a hell of a match, Eric. I really did, man. But he didn't come up strong. It started off with Triple H flipping the rope, kicking the rope, and injuring Viscera's groin. And then Triple H gambles a lot of punches.
But then the pedigree.
And it was over. It was record time.
Yeah, and then he grabbed the mic, rambling on a little bit about Ric Flair and moved on with his life. After that, they cut backstage. I don't know if that happened.
Did we skip the Ric Flair coming out at first?
No.
Because did he come out earlier?
You know what?
We skipped Ric Flair coming out. He came out earlier talking about he won a cage.
I don't know when Ric Flair came out, but it was
he
so
short.
He came
out again on the mic. So, it was so short.
It was so short and so useless that it was... Yes, he did come out clamoring about a cage. Good point, Marcus.
He's like an old man. Yes. Old crazy old man with cats.
Yes.
A Simpsons reference.
All right. So they cut backstage and Cena is being interviewed by Grisham again. And Cena's talking about that Grisham needs to be true to himself and he needs to play the role that he needs to play.
Harry Carey.
And he does the Harry Carey role. And Cena gets him to look like, what the hell are you doing? And then he started rambling about how Kurt sold out and that it's going to be a big challenge against him at Taboo Tuesday, but he will overcome and win the match.
The champ is here and the champ will be here again or, you know, some other junk. Take the belt from him!
Okay, the next match is the heartthrobs, Marcus' favorite tag team, dressed as Batman and Batman.
Yeah, no Robin. They could decide who was going to be Robin.
Versus Kane and Big Show. But the special stipulation of this match, this was a Texas Tornado tag match. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know what a Texas Tornado tag match is, it's a match where pretty much everybody can be at the ring at once and you can fight.
Mm-hmm. They had more of these matches with light heavyweights.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of like an X Division match, everything going crazy. The match was Big Show and Kane were comparing who could do bigger moves on the two little guys.
Anything y'all can do, y'all can do better.
It was a good butt whooping.
Yeah.
But it was really no reason. It could have been no heat.
All I got to say is this. Was Kane and Big Show really need to be a team against the Heartthrobs right here? Because if you think about it, Big Show has already beat the Heartthrobs by himself without Kane.
That's true.
On numerous handicap matches.
So Kane was not necessary, but he was there.
Big Show wasn't necessary.
That doesn't matter. You know Kane got that bad back. Okay, after that, it was the Diva Halloween costume contest. Real quick, Ashley came out as a Dark Angel. Maria came out as an angel.
Maria has music.
Yeah, but Maria's, she could have stayed her ass back there. Candice Michelle came out as Catwoman. I kind of like that costume. Victoria came out as a baseball player wearing a White Sox hat in Anaheim, which was funny. She looked nice in her costume. Mickey came out dressed as Trish, who was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
And Trish came out dressed as Wonder Woman.
Was that a blonde wig, or did she dye her hair blonde?
That was a blonde wig, Marcus.
I thought maybe she dyed her hair blonde.
So anyway, what happens, to make this short, is that it ends up into a diva brawl because Mickey takes the mic from Jerry Lawler, talking about, what are you guys doing? You need to vote for Trish. You need to do this. Victoria attacks her. Next thing you know, ass whoopers ensues. Yeah. And a move
the
on.
The funniest part, though, was when Mickey J hit her in the head with the cardboard belt. Because she had this cardboard women's championship belt. And she hit Victoria in the head. I was like, what is she doing?
Can I say, you know what that reminded me of, Marcus?
What?
You remember when we was watching the ultimate, the destruction of the Ultimate Warrior?
Self-destruction.
The self-destruction. And he came out with the hat on.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to hit him with the hat with the thing. I was like, not only was this a cardboard belt, but she had a hat on. So that was funny. After that, it was a match between John Cena and Shawn Michaels. It was a very good match. Only problem I had with the match was the ending. It's like.
Oh, you had a problem with the ending?
Kurt Angle just coming in, stepping
up. It makes sense. It has to make sense.
I mean, it makes sense.
Because you can't have a clear winner out of that one, as you can't have a clear winner out of Cena and Angle. Because if you have a clear winner, meaning the triple threat match, pretty much the winner should be the winner who beat John Cena. And a feud could never end because, you know, he defeated Cena. He said, I can defeat Cena by myself because he said what I did on Raw. But anyway, it makes sense because Angle can pick up. It's a good strategy if you think of wrestling as a real perspective point that you attack the ends meet of the guy because, you know, they beat the hell out of each other. You beat the hell out of them as there at their weakest point.
All right, after we got through this rant by Marcus, pretty much the most exciting thing is that Cena is setting up Kurt Angle for the FU, and here comes Shawn Michaels with the super kick, which leads the FU to a Samoan drop, but Kurt Angle is knocked out too. Shawn Michaels gets the belt. You see Cena reaching for the belt, but he's knocked out.
Please give me his belt.
And then they go off the air.
It's babe.
It's my belt. Marcus didn't like Raw. Okay for me.
Nah.
No, nothing else to say. We'll be back with the results from Taboo Tuesday, and we almost be finished with this show. We'll be right back. Now time for WWE Taboo Tuesday results. The first match that happened on the night was Edge with Lita and Chris Masters versus who did the fans vote in for them to face. It was Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy. Before the match, as we reported on last show, Edge has a pectoral injury that doesn't allow him to compete. So Edge said that he refuses to fight Mike Hardy again, and they plugged in Snitsky into the match.
Oh, God. Of all wrestlers, really?
Of all wrestlers. Snitsky was the one that was plugged in. Anyway, Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy won, once again showing up Raw on their own pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. The next match was the Legends match. Rob Conway and his newly added partner, Tyson Leadfoot Tomko.
Still Boot Tomko.
Leadfoot, still. Okay, because you know what? He's still a piece of trash, so he's going to have that in his foot. When he start winning some matches, I'll upgrade him to steel. Versus Eugene and Superfly, Jimmy Snuka. Eugene and Snuka won. That's all enough said. Because, you know, we didn't see it, so how can we say anything else?
What are we going to say? Snuka really looked good. He was in great shape.
Next match was Carlito versus Mankind.
Right. It was Mankind, yeah.
Mankind won this match. I kind of put a point that the role person won the match. Next match has to be one of the short-lived tag team title reigns of all time. Trevor Murdoch and Let's Kane versus Kane the Big Show. They won.
Big Show and Kane. Yeah. Not Kane and Murdoch. You just say
I said Kane and the Big Show.
You said they won.
I said Kane and the Big Show, they won. Okay. It don't matter. That's what you hear. You hear the catch me. Next match was Coach, Vader, and Goldust versus Batista. This match Coach had no reason to be on the show anymore. Because if Austin is not there and the whole Jim Ross coming back, it was no reason to see Coach.
This match was off.
Anyway, Batista won. How do you know it was off? You didn't see it.
I just want to say, I can predict it being awful.
The next thing was the Women's Battle Royal. I refuse to name all the combatants in this. Trish won. That's all that needs to be said.
It was Maria, and then there was Victoria, then there was Mickie James, and then there was...
you just go name the stuff, huh? After I say I refuse to name
it. You can't just refuse to name this.
I can too refuse to name it.
It's equality, brother.
After that, it was the Ric Flair and Triple H in the cage, correct?
Yeah.
Ric Flair won, shocking, but he won. More shocking that the belt was on the line, did not know. Okay.
They announced it on Raw.
Then the last match was Cena versus Michaels versus Angle. They didn't give out no first names because I didn't feel like it. John Cena retained the belt. And that was Taboo Tuesday.
It was so taboo.
So taboo. This is what the fans do. All right, we'll be back with our closing arguments or our statements. Welcome back. We have another episode in the can, appears so.
I guess so.
Marcus, since you've been starting off with the closing comments for each show, why not go for it right now?
Okay, my closing comments. Let's see, what do I have to say? John Cena should not be champion. He is dragging the business down. Ever since he's been champion, Raw hasn't been as good as it was in the past. John Cena, somebody take the belt from John Cena right now. Give it to Kurt Angle. Give it to Shawn Michaels. Hell, give it to the Big Show and Kane. John Cena should not be the WWE Heavyweight Champion of the world. Period. Also, that's not also I think. That's all I have to say.
You finished
the short show. Have nothing really to say. Week.
I think he was trying to say it was a week in wrestling.
Can't say it.
That's hard. Anyway, week. I have no closing statements because I really have nothing to say. I'm feeling under the weather again. Vegas got me sick.
Sure.
Just want to let everybody know that some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show Pod Safe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com. The artist for tonight's music in the show is, the band is called 137 and the song is called Wrecking Ball. Hope you guys enjoyed it. This has been episode 14. You know, hit us up with any comments or suggestion at thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Please check the poll out at the site, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. And, well, I guess that's it. I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. See you guys next episode.
Episode 15, the sequel.